your weekly fix on finance and investing. This is the Cortland Economics Report.
All right, welcome back. Continuing to listen to the weekend edition of the KE Report. In this segment and for the remaining three segments of the first hour, we are going to focus primarily on the resource sector. In this segment, I am chatting with Joe Mazumdar, editor over at Exploration Insights. Now, Joe, we're going to step outside of the U.S. because you just returned from a visit to Finland. You went to a conference over in Finland, which is more or less kind of the PDAC of the Scandinavian countries. First, just take us through some of your interest. What got you over to Finland for this conference, and what are some of your just initial takeaways, please?
Thanks. With respect to Finland, I went there because I do this capital market for geologists short course with some friends in at Roundup, and there was a Finnish contingent there, and they asked us to do the same course up in Finland. I mean, I've been aware of Finland for a while because I had another site visit there up 3 years ago to see Mawson resources. Finland was always a place that people were working, but I think with Orion probably being the linchpin here, has done up in Finland and raised so much money and got joint ventures there with B2 Gold. And Kinross has really, increased the excitement around gold exploration in Finland. So basically, Finland, very stable jurisdiction, the top quartile, top five with respect to, investment attractiveness index with the Fraser, the policy potential index, really, scores very well on the corruption perception index, which is transparency.org. So very stable jurisdiction. I mean, it scores better than Canada or the U.S. And the ease of doing business there, ranks very highly as well. And also you get a very educated population there. You don't need a lot of expats there. So that's a big positive. I guess the difference in mentality in Finland versus Canada and some other Western countries is they're a tad more socialist. And so potentially there's a little less entrepreneurial spirit there, and potentially there's less exploration companies that are Finnish there. There's more exploration companies. About 50% of the money raised to explore in Finland comes from Canada. But what we do see is that in Scandinavia, there's a big push for battery elements. And so if you have a company that's looking for nickel, cobalt, copper, lithium, or something like that, you might be able to raise money locally. But for gold right now, most of the money is coming outside of the country.
And now, is the country okay with all these essentially foreign companies coming in and exploring?
Well, yes. I mean, so the other part of the conference was a site visit to Kittila. So Kittila is a big underground mine that Agnico are expanding, that they purchased back in, I think it was in 2006 or 2004. And they've been expanding that. And what's hard to get my head around is this is an underground deposit of 4.5 grams, almost consistent. 4.5 grams. There might be some internal variability, but that's the way they present it. 4.5 underground refractory ore, where they're building a shaft almost a kilometer down. So for me, I don't see that being all that economic. But given the cheap power costs, it's mostly hydro, they have grid power. Even though you're way north of the Arctic Circle, it's all drive in, drive out. There's no camp. There's no helicopter-supported exploration there. Everybody just lives there or close by. And so a lot of the G&A costs are not typical of a project that is that far north. Economically, it still works, and it still justifies, I guess, Agnico's expansion into the project. And so from Finland's point of view, that's been a bit of a success story. So they're not against foreigners coming in and directing investment and, basically investing in projects that work. So if you can actually find a project and put it into production and, get through all the environmental hurdles, we've seen projects being built there. The issue has been previously, I mean, still consistently, they have this area that's preserved and that you can't work on, and the access issues are a little bit more complicated. You can work around it, but it just takes longer. Those are the natural ground. And that's become something that's held people back before in Scandinavian countries. But since these companies are now exploring there and getting around it, or, you know, managing it, people are less adverse to investing in Finland right now. Another issue about investing, about companies in Finland, is the holding costs. The land holding costs can be up to, like when you start, about 20 euro per hectare. And it could get up higher the longer you hold the ground. So that can be a burden on a grassroots explorer that, you know, raising money, and how much money do you need to raise just to hold the ground. And so that's why you see potentially a lot more joint ventures on big land packages, like you see with Orion with the Kinross JV and B2 Gold, trying to keep their old costs down.
So with some of the majors already operating mines and active in the country, there are some juniors that are doing some grassroots exploration and even some resource expansion. Are you finding some opportunities in Finland, or is this still just kind of on your radar, maybe not an aggressive move for your portfolio?
Okay, with respect to investing in Finland, I like it. I like the jurisdiction. The prospectivity looks good. You can see that, you know, there's big companies not only looking at acquiring ground. Obviously, Agnico is already operating there. So the interest by majors is there. You know, back in 2012, when all the exploration was peaking all over the world, you know, Finland had about $170 million of exploration directed to it. Right now, it's been about stable at about 60 million, which might be a good number for them. Interestingly, like in the last several months, four companies have raised about $30 million to explore mostly in Finland. That's included Orion Resources, Mawson, Rupert Resources, Palladium One, and also Firefox. So companies are exploring. Some of them are, you know, building big land packages, but with the constraint that they actually have to do joint ventures because of the big holding cost. But each one's got a bit of a different angle, but most of them are for gold. You know, Palladium One is the new one that's come in to look at a palladium-rich part of a magmatic nickel deposit. But most of these ones are gold. And in that part of Europe, there is a tendency to more, I don't know, look for battery metals than gold. And so most of the money to explore for gold appears to be coming from outside, mostly Canada, because all the companies I mentioned were Canadian listed.
That's interesting. Some of the nuances within Finland then, I guess. So as a general takeaway, though, is this an area that you think could become much more popular with investors? Almost like, well, right now everyone seems to be focused on these safe and very well-known jurisdictions.
Yeah.
With the odd, you know, South American country popping up here and there. But is there a chance that Finland could come back onto a lot of people's screens and become a better known jurisdiction for resources?
Well, I mean, when I was up there, one of the CEOs was talking about Finland being the new Yukon play. So I could see that. And you can see that in the money that's been raised. You can see that there's been $30 million raised, and most of them have been oversubscribed, directing these companies to explore in Finland. So I don't think Finland's an issue. And I think it's already on the radar of many people. The issue right now is, you know, the individual assets that these companies have, or what they're looking for, how good are they, and the valuation and all that other stuff. It's less about Finland being problematic than what the individual assets are that these companies have. It's very specific to what they're holding. I mean, what was interesting also about Finland is there was a project that I'd never heard of that that a big company, Anglo American, had been exploring for. I mean, they've been exploring back in 2004 for nickel copper sulfide deposits all over Scandinavia. And then in 2009, they found this deposit called Sakati, which is this, you know, it's just this polymetallic deposit that, you know, right now, anecdotally, I don't have the real numbers here, but right now they think that they've got about 40 million tons there of over 5% copper equivalent. I mean, that's an incredible deposit. And, you know, majors are finding those as well. So what hasn't been done here is that there's been a geology done here with the local survey, but also the survey helps with doing regional magnetic surveys, geophysical surveys to help explorers, big companies and small companies select ground. And part of what Anglo-Americans say helped them find this deposit was all that, you know, information that they already had from the government. And so that's a big help. But the ability to find these deposits undercover, which this deposit is a big win in Finland, because a lot of the Finland work has been surface stuff and you know, thin glacial cover. But now these guys are starting to look deeper for different types of deposits. Right now, I would say, you know, a lot of it's, you know, being driven to nickel exploration. Because there's so many majors there. This is what's driving revenue in Finland. The companies operating there, like Boliden and that, most of the money that Finland generates from mining is from nickel, followed by gold and copper. But most of the exploration right now is in gold.
Okay, thanks for that summary there, Joe. Let's just take a step back, wrap it up with a general comment on the state of these resource markets, especially when it comes to the juniors this week. Not a very good week for the precious metals, but you know what? They are still above that kind of long-term trading range that they were in. They finally broke out this year. However, the juniors, it wasn't a broad-based recovery, only a select recovery. And now what some people are saying is that we're right around the corner from tax loss selling season. But the argument is also that maybe it started early. Where do you stand on kind of the time of the year that we're in and just the general takeaway from what we've seen so far this year when it comes to resources and still the lack of money trickling down into a broad base of juniors?
Yeah, I think that, you know, the money that we've seen raised, the $1.6 billion in equity, has been primarily by retail for grassroots explorers predominantly gold and predominantly low geopolitical risk jurisdiction gold. But I don't know if that retail tap or spigot is limited. I mean, there's only so much they can do. The next step for, you know, institutional equity or generalist funds to come in, we haven't seen that leg. Most of the generalists are still investing directly in gold and not in equities. Even the GDX, which is an ETF, has seen actually net withdrawals year to date. So we haven't seen that next leg up on the cycle on these companies. So right now, it's still a good time to look for the exploration plays and those sort of companies that have good assets, are drilling, well-funded, and are looking for something that works, you know, even in $1,250, $1,350, given that the gold price is $1,500, that's a good thing going forward. But also in these other commodities, if you're like positive, still long-term copper, there's not a lot of exploration done by juniors in copper. If you can find a good asset, because by 2023, there's going to be a deficit. And so when we get there, you know, we got to find these projects now. We got to start thinking about them now. But we're not. We're not exploring for these assets now, you know, or whether you like nickel. So I would think that as we get to tax loss selling, this would be an opportunity for people that have got those companies that they like to actually start putting a leg in.
Yeah, I agree with you there, Joe. There could be some very good deals in some of these companies. And if a lot of the commentators are right and next year is another positive year for the metals, then you know what? Money will trickle down further and further into some of these juniors and finally into maybe some of these other companies that just haven't gotten much love on the breakout in the precious metals price. Joe, it's great chatting with you. I appreciate everything you write in the Exploration Insights newsletter. If anybody wants more information on that newsletter, feel free to email me, fleck@kereport.com, and I will put you in touch with Joe and his team. Joe, thanks again for your time. Have a great rest of your weekend.
Great. Thanks a lot, Corey.
To find out more about today's guests, visit us on the web at www.kereport.com. You're listening to the Corlin Economics Report. We'll be back in a moment.